know you won't mind.
But no.
If I tell the whole story.
Thomas, and you're listening to WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News Views. My name is Garland Nixon. I'm on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. on WPFW 89.3 FM, Washington, D.C. You can find me on Facebook and not Twitter, but on Instagram, Garland Nixon on Facebook, Garland.Nixon on Instagram, YouTube, Garland Nixon, Telegram at Garland in. I think that's pretty much it. Email is my first name and the first letter of my last name, garlandn@gmail.com. Ah, we got my camera working. Excellent. Outstanding. I'm hanging out with my main man, Kalia. He is the guy who's in the studio. He's the brains behind this operation, understands the technical aspects of everything, and he makes it happen. Without him, you would get nothing but cricket. So thanks very much to Kalia. Big props to him and the fantastic work he does. Phone number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. You know, it's interesting talking to different people. And right now we got a lot of people that are furious for a lot of reasons. Watching the politics in America, you know, I put this post up on my Facebook page and I will read it to you. And it aligns with something that I've been saying for years, if I can get it. Okay. And it says this. A guy named at Dilly Holiday put this great, and I thought it was great. The American people are very much like the children of a mafia boss who do not know what their father does for a living and don't want to know, but then wonder why someone just threw a firebomb through their living room window. And that's the way I feel. You know, if you've been listening to the show for years, what have I been saying? Americans, you live on a pirate ship. You think you're on a luxury liner. This ain't a luxury liner. If you understand what the American empire is, if you start to wake up and say, gee, I wonder why we have 900 bases around the world. If I look for a list of the countries that we've overthrown, there's like 87 countries, overthrown countries, massacred people in the countries, replaced the leaders, assassinated leaders of the countries. Just mayhem around the world is what the U.S. has been doing. Mayhem. And I have people that say to me, well, you're un-American. People call you names. What am I supposed to do? As Malcolm X said, if the truth is un-American, don't blame me. Blame the truth. What am I supposed to say? Did the United States didn't overthrow the government of Iraq? Didn't recently work with overthrowing the government of Syria and replacing it with a bunch of head-chopping ISIS terrorists who are now committing massacres? Didn't support a genocide in Gaza, and they're still killing, slaughtering people with our missiles, our bombs, our everything? United States, do I need to go even start in South America, all the countries we've overthrown in massacre? Do I need to go to Indonesia and the millions and millions, all of that? And why is it that Garland Nixon looks at that and says, you know, I ain't fighting over the Democrats and the Republicans. I'm not like, oh, why aren't the Democrats doing this or why aren't the Republicans doing that? I'm like, this is a killing and thievery machine. Let me ask you a question, perhaps you never thought of. And you might have heard me say this before on my show. Did you ever ask yourself why I got to buy, if I buy apples that were up in Carroll County, Maryland, an hour and 10 minutes from my house, they cost me $2.49 a pound. But if I buy bananas from Costa Rica or Guatemala, they're only 49 cents a pound or 45 cents a pound. Why are they so much cheaper? Why? Because we overthrow the governments of Costa Rica and Guatemala, et cetera. We put puppet governments in and we rob them blind. And then instead of them owning their own banana plantations, a Chiquita or Dole owns them, abuses the peasants. You know, my dad was a longshoreman. Let me tell you a story. And what used to happen with my dad was a longshoreman at Baltimore Harbor. And what used to happen was they had a problem because they picked these stalks of bananas and the stalks came in. And they would have, you know, it's warm there, poisonous spiders, sometimes poisonous snakes. They bite a longshoreman, you know, he's sick, he's injured, or he dies, right? And now the company, he's an American, got to pay a lot of money because longshoremen had very good benefits, got to pay the family, all this kind of stuff, right? So what, you know what they started doing? They started having the peasants box them in Costa Rica, wherever the heck, Guatemala they came from, right? Why? Because, hey, if the peasant gets bit by a snake, whatever, kill, die, who cares? They just get another peasant. They didn't want to pay so much money. So it was their lives were worthless to us, to us. You know, I forgot which country. It might have been Guatemala. The United States overthrew the government because a new country, I think it was Guatemala, but it was one of those countries around there. And what happened was a president came in and the U.S., the United Fruit Company, which I think became Dole or Chiquita eventually, was there. And they said, you know, we want to own all of the banana plantations. We basically want the whole country to be a banana plantation and we can make lots of money. A new president gets elected and the president says, hey, nah, the people here should own their own stuff. And hey, we might not just want to do banana plantations. We might want to diversify our economy and do other things. And I want the people in this country to own it. So a president got elected in the country, and I think it was Guatemala, and he was going to look out for the people there. You know what the United States government did? Overthrew the government and stuck somebody in there on behalf of the United Fruit Company. They overthrew the government and stuck in a new puppet who would was basically a traitor for the United States and would say, okay, never mind. The people here don't get it, don't get to own their own property. We'll let the United Fruit Company continue to do it. And that's what we do. That's what we do around the world. So when people come to me and the United States is up with the latest law, we're standing up for democracy and fill in the blank country. I'm like, I don't understand how Americans, based on the history of the United States and based on what we've continually done and we've lied to our people, I just don't understand for the life of me how anyone can believe the latest war. Every single one of them is a lie. And I don't understand how somebody can come to me and say, well, fair enough, Garland, they've told a lie on every other war. But the one in Ukraine now, they're telling us the truth. Putin really is a bad guy. He's evil. He's a dictator. The head of China, he's an evil dictator. Oh, Maduro and Venezuela, they've given us the list of evil dictators, and they really are evil dictators. And I'm like, how many times do they have to lie to you before you stop believing them? And the answer is, it doesn't matter. I've come to that conclusion that there are a certain percentage, there's a certain element in this country, and God, I'm glad I'm not in it, that no matter how many times they're lied to by their government about a war, that they'll believe them for the next war. Oh, no, Garland, Maduro really is a fill in the blank, is a, yes, now Maduro's a dictator. I'm like, no, really? No, he's not. That's a lie. Do you think it is a coincidence that Venezuela has more oil reserves than any country in the world, and the United States has been focused on overthrowing the government of Venezuela for the last, I don't know how long? Do you think it's a coincidence? Do you think that if Venezuela didn't have more oil reserves than any country in the world, than Saudi Arabia, it's loaded with oil. And Maduro says, the president, nah, you can't have the oil. So the United States says, we're going to sanction you completely until you put a new guy in there. And so we can basically steal the oil. And then American government says to the American people, hey, suckers. And American people go, yes. Maduro's a dictator. And the American people go, okay, America, Maduro's a dictator. Yes, sir, he's a dictator. And they go run around and say to me, you know, Maduro's a dictator. I'll go, you know, you can't be that stupid. I'm wrong. I think it's something like this, really, to be frank. I think it would really be disheartening to people to admit the truth. It really would. Think about it. What would happen if you had to admit the truth about the American government? If you had to look at the Ukraine war and admit the truth about the Ukraine war, that it's not a war, it is the Ukraine project, that the United States overthrew the government of Ukraine, literally put in writing in a 2019 document written by the Rand Corporation that they were going to use Ukraine to destabilize Russia. And therefore, at some point, the Russian would become destabilized, Vladimir Putin would be overthrown, and then blah, 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 and then the United States would go in. And what does Russia have? A whole lot of oil and gas and everything else. And then we were going to go in and take it. That's all it was. Ukraine is not really that people believe that the United States is really supporting Ukrainian democracy. I ride down the road sometimes. I was in Annapolis. And I saw, I'm riding through a nice little liberal part of town, and I see these blue and yellow signs, I stand with Ukraine. And I'm like, oh boy, these people really believe that. You know, notwithstanding the evidence, they literally told us what they were going to do. They literally put it in writing. There is, you can go online. Now listen to this. And the reason I say this, because the Ukraine conflict is about to come to a close, I believe. I'm glad about that. But literally, there is a recording that you can find it online. It's Victoria Nuland. At the time, she was Assistant Secretary of State. And the ambassador to Ukraine was Jeffrey Pyatt, P-Y-A-T-T. And there's a recording of her talking to him 2 weeks in 2014, 2 weeks before the violent overthrow of the Ukrainian government. Victoria Nuland, the Secretary of State for the United States, was naming the new government. She was saying, okay, we're going to put this person in and this person in and that person in. And Pyatt was like, what about that person? Ah, no, we're going with this person. So think about this. 2 weeks before the Ukrainian government was overthrown in a violent revolution, the United States named the new government. And then there was a violation in Ukraine. And that very new government that Victoria Nuland and Jeffrey Pyatt named suddenly jumped into power. Let me add this. And then suddenly Ukraine was flooded with Americans all over the place. All these Americans were suddenly in Ukraine making money, cleaning house. Isn't that amazing? Is that a coincidence? No, it's not. They told you what they were going to do. So the United States goes to Russia's border. And what happened? What happened as soon as the United States took over the government of Ukraine? They started digging trenches. They started pumping Ukraine full of military weapons and preparing Ukraine for war with Russia. Ukraine was a patsy. Ukraine was a puppet state. Now, the United States says we're protecting Ukrainian democracy. But wait a minute. If the United States overthrew, see, this is simple, very simple. If I'm telling the truth, if I'm right, you might not want to believe me, I don't really care. But if I'm telling the truth, and the United States actually did overthrow the government of Ukraine in 2014, then we're not protecting their democracy, are we? Because we stole their democracy and installed a puppet government. Which means it's all lies. Which means, just like the United States Rand report wrote in 2019, just like the United States government themselves wrote in 2019, just like Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote in 1998 in his book called The Grand Chessboard, Ukraine is a weapon that is being used to destabilize Russia. So the United States goes to Russia's border, overthrows the government, pumps Ukraine full of weapons, military garb, everything we could to try to go to war with Russia, drive Ukraine into a war with Russia, And Russia did what the United States would do. Let me ask you a question. What do you think the United States would do if Russia overthrew the government of Mexico? Or even better yet, which would be more apropos, if Russia overthrew the government of Canada and started pumping weapons into Canada, pumping weapons full of, and then outlawed the English language. Because you know what they did in Ukraine? They outlawed the Russian language. You know what else they did? The people in eastern Ukraine who are all Russian, who speak Russian, and who are Russian Orthodox Christians, this new American government outlawed Russian Orthodox Christianity. They outlawed it. It's illegal. Locked up the priests, locked up their preachers. What do you think the United States would do if the Russians overthrew the government of Canada and started pumping Canada full of weapons to get ready for a war with the U.S.? Don't you think the U.S. would blow the living smithereens out of Canada? You're best sure that they would. And when we did that, you rest be sure. And the Russians said, look, they sent a letter to the U.S. before they started. They attacked Ukraine and it said, look, we have to talk about these things or there could be military action. The U.S. said, that ain't even a starting point. We ain't listening. And then Russia blew the crap out of Ukraine. And you know what? You can call Putin evil all you want to. If I was the president of Russia, you best assure I'd do the same thing. And you know what? You may not like to hear this. So would you. If you were the president of Russia and you were the president of a world superpower and another world superpower comes to your border, overthrows the government of a country next to you and starts building them up for war against you, you'd flatten them. And that's what Russia's doing. And right now, Ukraine, I mean, now the United States, then, you know, they decided, well, we've got to propagandize the American people. Ukraine can win. Everybody knew that Ukraine couldn't win, but they had to tell us that Ukraine could win for the last 4 years. Now Ukraine is in deep and serious trouble. Right now, as they always would be, in an area called the Kursk region, there's somewhere 10, 20,000 Ukrainians right now that are surrounded by, the Russians surrounded them. 10, 15, 20,000, something like that. Surrounded, cut off. So Donald Trump calls the Russians and says, hey, could you let them go? And the Russians are like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. This is called war. For the last time I checked, they should have thought about that. When you came to our border, that's what the Russians are basically saying. You know, hey, this is a war. They're surrounded. They can either surrender or they're all going to be wiped out. That's kind of the nature of war. And I feel sorry for the Ukrainians in a way because it ain't their fault, because the United States put them up to it. Ukraine is a puppet country. Ukraine is, it's what's called a proxy war, meaning you go to war with another country, but you don't fight the battles. You put some other poor sucker in there to use him as cannon fodder. That's all the Ukrainians are, cannon fodder. And all of these people running around, I support Ukraine. Let me tell you something. If you threw me in a ring with Mike Tyson, I'm not going to do well. I'm going to get beaten to death. And I say, help, get me out of this. You get me out of this ring. Mike Tyson's going to beat me to death. And you say, I'm going to support you. I'll help you stay in the ring. That ain't helping me. Help, I'm trying to get out of this ring. Please stop. Nah, we're going to help you. We'll give you some more Gatorade to drink. That'll help. It ain't going to help. All the Gatorade in the world ain't going to help. Mike Tyson's going to beat me to death and I'm going to die. That's what's happening. It's not supporting Ukraine. You've thrown Ukraine at Russia, and Ukraine is going to get battered to hell. They're going to get crushed, and that's what's happening right now. They never had a chance. They never will have a chance. And you know what's going to happen? I've been saying this for the last 3 years. Russia is going to crush Ukraine, and after they crush Ukraine, whatever's left of Ukraine is going to have to put up a white flag. That's where we're going. You know what's going to happen? Let me tell you what's going to happen. It's even worse than that. In December of 2021, which was 2 months or so before Russia got into the conflict, which was already going on, the Russians sent a letter to the United States, as I said, and it said, basically, in order to avoid a war, we need to negotiate on the following issues. And the United States said, no. Okay. Here's the sad thing. Russia's going to pound the living snot out of Ukraine, pulverize it into nothing. And you know what's going to happen in the end? That list that they sent over to the United States in 2021, they're going to get it all. They're going to get it all. So here's the questions. If the Russians in 2021 sent a list and said December of 2021, which I still got on my computer somewhere because I reported on it. They sent a letter that said, we want these talk about these three things or we're going to knock the crap out of Ukraine, in a nutshell. And the United States said no, because the United States wanted that war with Ukraine. That's why they've been arming Ukraine for the last 6-7 years, to prepare them to get the snot knocked out of them by Russia. If the United States had just said, okay, let's talk, it didn't have to happen. But now we're going to have 1 million Ukrainians dead, their country knocked to bloody hell, and the Russians are still going to get what they want. Because what did the Russians say in the very beginning? They said, we will achieve our goals either by diplomacy or by force of arms. The Russians will achieve their goals by force of arms, unfortunately, for the Ukrainians. And you know what's going to happen? Just like every other war, all these poor schnooks running around with their blue and yellow, I support Ukraine flags, right? It'll be just like weapons of mass destruction. It happens every time. I had friends of mine in a cafeteria at work during that. We've got to go after Ukraine. One buddy of mine, we've got to fight him over here so we won't fight him over there. We've got to stop Saddam's weapons and all this. And they believed it all. And 4 or 5 years later, you know what they said? Yeah, I guess there wasn't no weapons of mass destruction. Boy, Bush lied us into a war. I'm like, but I was saying that before it happened and you supported it. So here's what's going to happen. All these poor idiots running around with their blue and yellow flag saying, I support Ukraine. 5 years from now, you know what they're going to say? Just like every other war. You know, perhaps we were lied to. Who could have thunk it? Who could have possibly known that? You could have possibly known it. I tell you, I told you every friggin' Friday. You're being lied to. And what I get is, no, Garland, you're wrong. Putin is an evil guy. He's blah, blah, blah. Assad's a bad guy. Wait, hold on. Let me go check my inbox because my party gave me a list of evil guys and I might have forgotten one of them. Let's see. We got Putin. We got Assad. We got Xi Jinping. We got Maduro. Did I miss anybody? No, they'll give you a new one next week and you'll add that to the group. All lies. It's sad. I hope somehow something happens to wake Americans up. You know, let me give you the number for those who want to call in, 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. And now, so we got open lines, feel free to call in. Now, as I keep saying, you have to view things systemically. If you're a Republican, the Democrats are terrible. They're going to screw everything up. If you're a Democrat, look at the Republicans are going to screw everything up. And I say it's systemic. The system is coming unraveled. The wheels are coming off the cart. So now the Democrats are mad at Chuck Schumer because he's going around with the Republicans on something. Dude, brothers and sisters, we've been getting screwed for the last 40, 50 years, realistically. That's at least 40, 50 years, the working class has been shafted. They take everything. Whatever they pour, whatever things that they got left for the working class, they are going out the window. Sorry, bad news. That's been going on for I don't know how long. Reagan started it. Clinton did some of it. Biden, all of them. Obama, you name it, they've been all shafting us. And Trump is in there now. He's going to fire a bunch of federal employees and they're going to replace them with AI. That's what's coming. That's what this is about. In the same way, you see, first they got rid of, they did it in the private sector. They fired all these people. They laid all these people off. They replaced them with AI. Now they're doing it in the public sector. And guess what? These same oligarchs, these same billionaires, it's just a different group of billionaires. But Biden had his group of oligarchs and billionaires. Trump has his group of oligarchs and billionaires. Y'all are fighting for the oligarchs and billionaires. Neither one of them is any good to me. I'm just saying, if Biden or Trump, either one of them, if they did something that I liked, I said, okay, which was rare. If they did something I didn't like, I said, great. If they did something, if they did something I didn't like, I said, boo, it's terrible. If they did something I liked, I said, yay, it's great, which is rare that any president's going to ever do anything that I like. And if they do, they'll probably screw it up, and it's for the worst possible reason it'll go bad. But, you know, I guess people got to feel like they're in a fight. 202-588-0893. We got open lines. First call, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is T-Bird from Upper Marlboro.
First call, you're on the air.
Hello, can you hear me?
Nope.
You can't hear me.
Listen, I'm not hearing the caller, unfortunately.
You can't hear him?
Nope, I can't hear
the caller. I can hear him. He can't hear me, apparently.
That's not good.
Oh, no. Well, that might be a phone issue. We might have to check out again.
Okay, we're working on our phone issue right now. Well, that is most unfortunate. But at any rate, so we'll continue to work on that.
Like you're in the middle of a frustrating situation.
Listen.
Dealing with phone issues.
Guess what? Here I said that, and my cell phone heard it and started answering it, of course, of all things. So the bottom line is this. You know, I'm just saying to people, live your life the way, however you want to. You don't have to listen to me. But you know what? There's an old saying about that. There's a saying about conspiracy theories. You know the difference between a conspiracy theory and the truth? About 6 months. And now when it comes to wars, it's about 5 years. Every single time, it's about five. That's been my experience. Weapons of mass destruction, everybody, it's good, it's great. We've got to stop weapons of mass destruction. About 5 years later, everybody's like, I've been lied to. So the military conflict as it currently has started in 2022. Most Americans were like, oh my gosh, Putin just woke up on a Thursday morning and decided to invade an innocent sovereign country. And I'm like, oh, God, you believe that again? Another one of these. But OK, great. I guess you're supposed to believe that if you're a sheep and one of the sheepy crowd, you just believe what you're told. So that means we got 2 years. 2022, it started. So that means, say, 2026. The people with the blue and yellow flags that still have them, that are still running around saying, I support Ukraine. About 2026, something like that, maybe 2027. In 2026, maybe the summer of 2026, the fall of 2026, they'll say, you know, Garland, remember when you told me that we were lied to about Ukraine? And I'll say, yeah. You know, perhaps there was a little something to what you were saying. I'll say, yes, about 5 years. It's about time. Remember 3 years ago that I was a Russian Putin-loving stooge? I was an idiot. I knew nothing about history. Why, Ukraine was just a plucky little country. It just so happened. Did you ever think about this? Ukraine's halfway across the world, and it happens to be on Russia's border, and we're pumping money and weapons into it. Okay, all right, so, okay, that's what's going on. You ever heard of a country named Taiwan? It's on China's border, and we're pumping money and weapons into Taiwan. Think about this. Maybe it'll help those who are sitting there saying, no, the United States is doing all this for good. We're standing up for democracy and things of that nature. Okay, I want you to think about this for a second. There are three superpowers in this world. The rest of them don't matter, to tell you the truth. There's the United States, there's Russia, and there's China. That's the three world powers. Everybody else is secondary. India's on the uprise. Brazil, they're doing a little something, what have you. But really, economically, militarily, nuclear, from a nuclear perspective, there's the United States, there's Russia, and there's China. Ain't nobody else. That's it. We're the three world powers right now. Here's the question to you. What country on the United States border is Russia and China pumping weapons and money into? None, are they? So Russia and China, they're not like pumping weapons into Mexico or Cuba, hundreds of billions of dollars, building bases, are they? Sending troops and missiles, are they? No, Russia and China aren't doing anything on our border. Now let's think. Taiwan, which the United States State Department recognizes as part of China. Go to the U.S. State Department and go to their website. They officially, the United States, recognized Taiwan as an island province of China. But yet, the United States is pumping $1 billion of weapons into Taiwan, saying China has no right to Taiwan, 7,000 miles from our shore. Okay, if that doesn't seem strange to you. Ukraine is on Russia's border. Russia was attacked by King Charles. Russia was attacked in the Crimean War by the Brits. Russia was attacked by Hitler. Russia was attacked by Napoleon. Every single one came through what? Ukraine. So Russia's been attacked repeatedly. And every single time, not every time, there's the Mongols, but most of the time it came through Ukraine, historically. and the United States is pumping weapons into Ukraine. Can you understand why Russia might be a little jumpy about that? And when you think of, just think of that little trifecta, Russia, China, the United States. The United States is pumping weapons into Taiwan, which is part of China. So you could say on China's border, if it wasn't actually part of China. The United States is pumping weapons into Ukraine on Russia's border. Russia and China ain't pumping no weapons into our border. But yet American government can teach Americans that we're the good guys, that we're doing that because we care about democracy and sovereignty. Do you know what the Cuban Missile Crisis was? The United States was ready to end the world. Why? Because Russia was building bases and putting weapons on the U.S.'s border. Because the Russians were doing exactly what we're doing to Russia and China, the United States was ready to go to nuclear war. And our government is able to convince the American people that we are on both Russia's border and China's border because we care about democracy. I'm going to tell you how I feel, and I got to be honest. My inclination is to say this: how stupid do you have to be to believe that? But I'll put it a different way. How naive, because it's not about stupidity, is about intellectual capacity. It's not about your intellectual capacity. It's about the willingness to believe things that empirical evidence do not support. All right, let's try this again. We got a phone caller. First caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Joe. I'm calling from Baltimore.
I'm all ears, Joe.
Say what?
I said I'm all ears. You're on the air, brother.
Oh, yeah. So I love what you're saying, man. It's a very good analysis, you know, what we call objective conditions. I mean, in some ways, it relates to it's either Brave New World or 1984. Mm-hmm. Those same three that you identified, that's Oceania, Eurasia, East Asia. It's the same thing.
Yes.
But the question is, what do we do about it? Now, you know, there's a really interesting guy. His name is Ali Tamaletto. He's a Finnish political scientist, social ecologist. He mm-hmm. says that resistance goes through four steps: awakening, protest, cooperation, solidarity. The thing is that the folks here, we really haven't gotten past the protest stage, which is, you know, like it's, mm-hmm. it's speaking truth to power and power not interested in the truth, as you just said. The question is, how do we move from just getting out in the streets and protesting to cooperation, building social, economic, and political structures that are alternative to the one that's existing, not trying to overthrow any government or anything like that, but you start creating a path for yourself, for the folks around you, in terms of your well-being, your health, you know, your political activity. You start building something like that as an alternative, and as you begin to do that, like, you know, you set up cooperatives, you do mm-hmm. mutual aid, you know, things like that, you begin to develop the trust and the mutual respect where you can engage in solidarity. When you get yes. to solidarity, then you can challenge these people.
I'm with you. I think you hit the nail on the head, and that part of it is people have to organize independently of political parties, independent of the institutions and structures that are oppressing us in the first place. You know, if you think that, well, I'll just get under this party or this institution or this structure, and like you're saying, cooperatives, things of that nature, people have to organize independently. Independent organizations. And here's the other thing. It's like you said, you know, we have to educate ourselves, and we have to organize and educate ourselves about the truth, because we've been lied to. We've had blinders put on us so much and for so long that we're being dragged around. And no matter how bad things get, things just keep getting worse. And we just keep turning back to the same oppressive institutions that hold us down, hoping that they're going to get us out of it. And they'll tell us they're going to get out of it, but they're the ones making it worse. So I think you are moving in the right direction. It's about organization and educating ourselves. You get the last word. What's happening?
Just to have the folks and you two take a look at a device that's called the Citizens Assembly. They have something like that. They call it in Ireland and a couple of places like that, but those are what they call policy juries. You know, the people in power have a lottery, and some ordinary folks get together and kind of comment on what's going on. A citizens' assembly is built in it's like circles of seven families. Every seven families Every family has a representative. You organize them into a represent seven people who represent seven families. That's like a committee. They select one committee to sit on a council. That now represents 49 families. And it keeps going up like that until you've got what's called civic infrastructure that's from the ground up. It's based on face-to-face communications, and the folks at each level are responsible to the people on the outside. These are done. They have somebody's in Kerala, in the southern part of India, and the way they have it is that the delegates who get selected from this process, every one of them is subject to recall. So, like, if you select somebody to represent your committee on the next level and they don't do what you have told them to do, you bring them right back. And very interesting thing about this is that it is modeled on the way that the Native Americans organized their structures, participatory democracy, the Iroquois Confederation. This is how it was organized.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. But I got another call I got to run to. But OK, thank you very much. Certainly appreciate it. All right. You know, we have some very bright callers and people are looking. I'm glad that people are looking for alternatives and options, because people are turning away from the traditional media. That's what I like, WPFW. People are turning away from traditional political parties because the truth is it's just not working. We're getting shafted. And no matter how much we keep doing the same thing over and over with the same old so-called misleadership class, things just get worse for us, and there's nobody standing up for the working class. So we need to come up with alternative options. We need to organize. We need to educate ourselves. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I don't know. Do you have the phone on or the radio on in the back room that's giving us an echo? You might want to turn that off.
Let me cut the radio off.
Yeah, good idea.
All right. Now, yes, sir. How you doing today?
Wonderful. Great to hear from you. What's your idea today? What's your thoughts?
Well, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Long time caller, first time listener. And I want to call you out on something. Now, I'm originally from D.C., grew up on WPFW, Love 89.3, God bless, Jazz and Justice. But now I'm out here on the West Coast, and it's nice, but I still listen to WPFW because no one tells it like it is, like they do on the East Coast. Now, I'm going to say something, though. Okay. What makes you think Russia's going to stop at Ukraine? What makes you think that...
Yeah, wait a minute. You one question at a time, right? You said, what makes me think Russia? I have no evidence. The evidence tells me that this is a conflict about Ukraine, that the United States armed Ukraine because the United States overthrew the government of Ukraine and installed a puppet government intentionally to go after Russia. And Russia said, I want to talk about this. This is about Ukraine. Why? I have no evidence that the Russians would attack anybody else. I'll say one other thing. The Russians have been attacked by Britain. The Russians have been attacked by France. The Russians have been attacked by Sweden. The Russians have been attacked by Germany. The Russians have already been attacked by Western Europe. So why would I have any evidence that the Russians would attack Western Europe? Western Europe historically has attacked Russia repeatedly, and Russia's never attacked one of them. Go ahead.
So you're telling me Russia, you really think Russia believed that Ukraine was an existential threat?
I believe, forget what Russia believes. I'll tell you what I believe based on my research and the evidence that I've go over. The United States overthrew the government of Ukraine. So Ukraine would then be used as a political and military tool to destabilize Russia. That's what I believe. I'm not talking about what Russians believe. That's what I believe. I believe Russia thinks the same thing, but that's what I think. Go ahead.
The U.S. had to disrupt the Soviet Union, which wanted to propagate communism all across this world.
Well, I don't agree with you. I agree with the Africans. What happened with the Africans? The Africans were dealing with the United States that was overthrowing their government, killing their people. The Africans fought back. And let me ask you this. Who armed the Africans? Who armed the South Africans when they were fighting for their freedom? the Soviet Union, who repeatedly armed the African countries who were fighting against the US and Britain and France that were overthrowing and murdering their governments, the Soviet Union. So in Africa, the Soviet Union was on the side of the Africans. That is why the Africans love the Russians today and hate the United States. What about that?
First of all, that is such a blanket statement. I mean, you talk about generalization. I don't know if there's any basis to that.
To what?
There's a consensus that Africans generally like Russia and dislike the U.S.
Yeah, the Africans generally are very, very close with Russia and China, and very, very close with the United States. Well, come on, the United States has been overthrowing their governments. You ever heard of Kwame Nkrumah, Thomas Sankara, on and on and on? The U.S. and Europe have been overthrowing their governments, massacring their people, stealing their natural resources. I don't know how much you know about the history of the U.S. and EU colonialism in Africa. It has been vicious, brutal, and theft.
Yeah, of course, the colonial history of Africa is ravaging and terrible. But I don't know what that has to do with saying that Ukraine deserves to, you know, that Ukraine doesn't deserve support.
No, once the United States overthrows the government of Ukraine and installs a puppet government, I don't consider a government a country once their government has been overthrown. And a puppet government, that's not Ukraine. That's the United States proxy. The United States took Ukraine's independence and sovereignty, stole it from them in 2014, and installed a puppet government. The truth is, Ukraine need to be freed from the United States, because we're the ones that overthrew their government and installed the puppet government. Go ahead.
And you know, speaking of puppet governments, you know what Russia's done? What have they done? What do we got now?
I'm listening.
Puppet government.
Where?
Yep. They threw us off the scent.
Where? Where's the puppet government?
Trump's eating out of Putin's hands.
I don't know what you're saying.
Cutting aid, effectively handing the war, handing strong armor to Zelensky. They shaking him down. He pulled up.
Zelensky's nothing but a puppet. Zelensky ain't in charge of nothing. Zelensky, he'll be out of power in 2 weeks. The United States put him in power, and the United States will take him out of power. The United States trained Bin Laden, armed Bin Laden, general. And then put a bullet in him. The United States put the Ba'ath Party in power of Iraq and Saddam Hussein and armed him and then put a bullet in him. Do I need to go on? The United States put Diem and his cabal in power in Vietnam, and then in 1963, when they got tired, they put a bullet in him. It's nothing new for the United States to overthrow a government and stick some puppet in power, and when they get tired of them, they put a bullet in them. That's what the U.S. has done over and over again. Why should this be any different?
What is when you say this? What is this?
Why should Ukraine be any different? They overthrew the government and put this puppet in. Look, Zelensky's a puppet. When the puppet master is tired of using the puppet, they'll get rid of him and put in a new puppet.
Who's pulling the strings?
The United States has always been pulling the strings. Let me ask you this.
Let me ask you a question.
You think the United States is paying every single bill in Ukraine? We're paying the street sweepers. We're paying we pay Zelensky's salary. We pay for the army. We pay the salary of the army. We pay the salary of the policemen. We pay the pensions for the people in Ukraine. We are arming Ukraine, and you think the United States is in Ukraine, ain't in charge of that country. You think that's not a puppet country, and we pay every single bill. Ukraine is the 51st state, brother, and you think that it's not a puppet government? Go ahead.
Because of NAFTA.
That's North American Free Trade. NAFTA's Canada and Russia. That's not. Canada and Mexico. NAFTA
I'm
is
sorry,
here.
NATO.
But my point being, why do you think the United States pays every single bill in Ukraine? Why do you think we do that?
We don't pay. Come on, we're not paying the utility bills of.
Yeah, we are. Look it up. Yeah,
we're giving them money. to defend themselves. And yes, there's
that's what you believe. You really believe we're giving the Ukraine money that we are so concerned about democracy and this poor little country that just happens to be on Russia's border. Well, let me ask you a question then. Let me throw something at you. I really want to know the question. Taiwan is on China's border, right? Why do you think the United States is pumping Taiwan full of weapons, just like Ukraine? Do you think we're looking out for their democracy or independence when we literally recognize Taiwan as an island province of China? Why do you think the United States is doing the exact same thing on China's border that they're doing on Russia's border? Why do you think that is?
Wait a minute. Now, hold on. Taiwan is cool. Taiwan's cool. They need to do their own thing. They need to get up from out of China.
They're part of China. Let me ask you this. What would you say if China and Russia said, you know, Puerto Rico is cool. Puerto Rico needs to get out from under the United States. The United States would say, what business is it of Russia and China? Puerto Rico is part of our country, isn't it? Does China have a right to come to the United States and say, we're going to start sending arms to Puerto Rico because Puerto Rico needs to be free? Dude, we'd go to war if they did that. What gives us a right to do that to Taiwan when we wouldn't let China do that to Puerto Rico? Please explain that to me, sir.
Because it's strategic. We have a strategic alliance. They don't want to. I mean, you're comparing Taiwan to Puerto Rico? What are you talking? First of all, I don't see your point here. Would you mind trying to rephrase the question?
Well, actually, we got another call or so. But you know what? Let me say this. I appreciate you calling. We may disagree, but I appreciate you listening to the show, calling. Please call back next week, and we can further this conversation. Because, all right? Thank you very much for calling, and I don't want to disrespect you. I appreciate you calling and being a part of the show. All right, next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Next caller, you are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
What's going on, Garland? It's Max calling from Maryland.
Max, my man. Max, what's happening, brother?
So, next week we'll talk about the Russia-Ukraine stuff. I want to talk to you more about some, like, economic stuff today.
Go for it.
So, the Schumer caved, man. He caved. He voted to extend the government. Terrible. All the House Democrats voted against it, but Schumer and 9 other Republican senators caved.
I don't think Schumer caved. I think Schumer is part of a corrupt system. I don't think it's caving.
Oh, yeah.
That would imply that he really wanted to do something else, but he went against his conscience. Schumer didn't go against his conscience. He's just as crooked. He's part of a corrupt system that looks out for rich folks and screws the working class. That's what Schumer is. That's what Schumer's always has been. And people convince themselves that he's a plucky little guy standing up for the working class. He's never done it. Schumer's doing what he's always done, stand up for the rich folks, in my opinion. I don't think he's caving. Go ahead.
I mean, I'm not, yeah, I won't argue that with you. He is a Wall Street, Wall Street corporate Democrat all the way. I guess, Mike, because we talked last week and I talked to you about some of the voter suppression stuff, and we talked about how Obama got 95% of the black male vote. Right, and 96% of the total vote as well, whereas, you know, it swayed about 10%. I guess I'll say this though, I'm not one of the liberals or people that I don't blame black people for the Democrats falling, right? I wouldn't do that. Like, if you don't want to vote for them, that then you have a reason to not do that, and they feel taken advantage of. I think my question would be, right, going forward, not even necessarily to win people back to the Democratic Party, but to kind of like reflect the problems of both sides. What would be a good strategy? Because we have two parties, right? We have two corrupt parties that feed the system, right? What's a good strategy to convince as well so many white people, right, who make up 80% of the Republican voter base? What's a way to convince them now finally that, like, hey, like, just because this guy like yells about trans people and immigrants, like, he's still gonna make sure that Congress is gonna take your health care, take your jobs, and possibly put us in a recession, and that's not to bring support back to the Democrats. That's just to further enlighten people on the economic austerity of the Republican Party. How do we enlighten these people in these southern rural states?
Well, you know, here's the thing about it, because, you know, before the Republicans came in, what I said was, here come the austerity monsters. That's what I call them, the austerity monsters. When the Republicans come in, it's cut, 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 cut. Let's take money, the reverse Robin Hood. Let's take money from the poor and give it to the rich. I said, that's what they're going to do. The problem that the Democrats had was they pissed people off, they upset people, and they became the party of war. And people were like really, really mad, because that's basically what the Democrats were. They were the party of foreign policy. Oh, it's Israel. It's Taiwan. We got to stand up to Putin. And Americans were like, hey, people here are suffering. Now, not that the Republicans are somehow going to come in and fix things or make things better, but the Democrats kind of disgraced themselves by giving the appearance, quite frankly, by the, what they were doing, that they didn't really care about America and that their whole focus was overseas. What the Democrats are going to have to do, I would say this, as a party, two things. First of all, here's the one thing they got to do in 2028. They got to do something they haven't had the last two times, and they got to have a real, open, fair primary, where they say, look, here's what we're going to do in the primaries. Anybody wants to run can run, and we're not going to stick our fingers on the scale. The last couple times they stuck their fingers on the scale, and it was very obvious, and everybody knew they did it, and they lost a lot of people. And what happened was this. By the time they got finished, whether it was Hillary Clinton in 2016, a lot of people, the Bernie people were all mad. Biden in 2020, the Bernie people again were like, why'd you guys all have to come together and fix this thing against Bernie? So the Bernie people were furious. Then in 2022, you had the Biden and he drops out and then they don't can't. Kamala comes in. Nobody voted for her. All this was a disaster. What they got to do is say, look, we're just going to have a primary. We don't care. You pick who you want, people. And if you pick somebody that we don't like, so be it. And I think that's what they have to do in 2028. If they do that, they'll have a chance. I don't know how they can do it. But that's the biggest thing going into 2028 is don't put their fingers on the scale in the primaries. Allow the voters to select whoever it is. And then, quite frankly, they'll have a chance to win. What do you think?
I definitely agree with that. And I guess I do agree with you, like the mishandling, like, well, Gaza will be that's the ultimate stain for me with the Democrats. I guess we have some differences with Russia and Ukraine. I don't want the war. I do want, like, peace. I guess my question would be in terms of just, like, the Republicans specifically now, right? Even though I agree with you, I know you're not saying that the Democrats screwing up with foreign policy. That's not really any type of, I think, promotion of the Republican Party. But what do you think, because Trump is increasing military spending still in this new budget, and they're going to continue supporting Israel all the way. He's taking the support for Israel, not even from a foreign policy standpoint, but he's really applying it through a domestic standpoint. When we saw what happened to Mahmoud Khalil, like, do you not think that Trump won't possibly reinstate a lot of his drone war in the Middle East, combined with the support for Gaza and Israel, and start ramping up drone strikes rapid like he did in his first term again?
Wouldn't surprise me at all. It wouldn't surprise me. That's the area, the Middle East and Gaza, Israel, where, you know, there is a agreement on the both parties. You notice one thing. The whole thing of Trump going after the Palestinian protesters, the Democratic Party ain't fighting that real hard. They're not pushing back hard on that. That's an area where they could make hay, but they won't, because they agree with that stuff too much. And they're basically funded by the same people. So, you know, the current Democratic Party can't win, but they got to make some changes if they want to win. As they are, they're just infuriated too many people. But I don't know what happens between 20 and 28. It seems to me the Democratic Party's plan now is, let's sit around and hope Trump screws up so bad that somebody hands it back to us. I think those days are gone. I think they're going to have to act in an assertive manner to get people back. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with that. And do you think with the situation also with Ukraine and Russia, do you think that possibly? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm just speculating, right? Do you think that there's a possibility that it could play out long term to where if the United States and Russia, right, both make money from the minerals that they're talking about extracting, and then Trump does withdraw NATO forces? I mean, I'm just speculating, right? There's no necessarily evidence to prove this, but is there any chance with NATO forces withdrawn, if Putin did consume all of Ukraine, would that would that benefit the Ukrainians, I guess, long term, is what I'm asking. Like, economically?
Yes, it would economically, but the Russians don't want Western Ukraine anyway. They wouldn't take it if you gave it to them. The rest of Ukrainians in Russia, you got to understand, this goes all the way back to the Crusades. But anyway, they wouldn't take any. The Western Ukrainians don't like Russians whatsoever. And so they don't really, they will if they have to, but I don't think they want it. I just think, I hope it ends. And I hope we come to some kind of a good ending. Because here's what's going to happen. The Russians are going to tear Ukraine to shreds. They're going to win.
Ukraine has
no chance. You're not helping Ukraine if you continue with a war that they have no chance of winning. That's not helping someone. You're not helping me if I'm fighting a guy that's going to beat the snot out of me. Don't keep me fighting. The sooner you end that, the better for me. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time. I certainly appreciate it. All right, let me go. If you want to talk to me, I'll give you my email address. It's GarlandN, my first name and the first letter of my last name, GarlandN@gmail.com. If you disagree with me, email and tell me what it is. Garland Nixon on Facebook. And if you check out the Mother of All Talk Shows with George Galloway, I will be hosting that on Sunday. Peace. I'm out.
Fuera, 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 f Do you love captivating stories?